5, and we'll start off reading a little bit and try to get to where we're going. The Bible says here, "For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he had put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one." Somebody say, all of one. "For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God had given me." Father, please, add a reading to the blessing here in the exposition of your most holy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Saints, we've been in the book of Hebrews, just going through the whole book. It's a unique book. It's one of the only books written specifically to the Hebrews, to us, amen, in the Bible. It was written to encourage us to stay in the faith, to stay in the new covenant, not to leave Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. In chapter 1, he told us that the new covenant is better than the old covenant because we have a better messenger. He's better than the prophets, and he's also better than the angels. Amen. In chapter 2, he told us that because we have a better messenger, we need to pay, hallelujah, more earnest heed, pay closer attention to the new covenant even than the old covenant. Amen. And he says we need to pay heed to it and study it and guard it and read it. Why? Lest we drift away. And so we started talking about, hallelujah, a few things. We began to talk about anthropology, the study of man. And when we studied man, we started at creation, looked at the dominion that God gave him, looked at how he lost it. Then we moved on and went to Christology, how Jesus Christ came, made himself Lord and the angels so that he could suffer death and taste death for every man through the vicarious atonement of the cross. He was crowned with glory and honor. So the same glory and honor that Adam and Eve lost in the garden, Christ wanted back. Come on, tell your neighbor, Jesus wanted back. You see? We talked about theology, God's universal ownership of the world, God's creator status, amen. And because he owns everything, because he created everything, amen, he has a right to author and a right to design our salvation. We can't tell God how we want to be saved. Amen. He's the creator. He's the owner. He tells us how we're going to be saved and how we're going to be forgiven and how we're going to meet our Savior. Amen. And so, hallelujah, we moved on from theology and we began to talk about soteriology. Amen. And soteriology is just the study of salvation. And we looked at our point number one where we talked about he that sanctified. And we talked about the sanctification of Christ. And we went deep. We talked about him sanctifying us positionally, amen, and also practically. Positionally, when we get saved, amen, he makes us holy in the sight of a holy God. Makes us acceptable, as the Bible would say, in the beloved. But not only does he positionally make us holy, he also practically makes us holy. And this is the sanctification process where day by day he challenges us, amen, and shows us the wickedness of our own hearts, amen, so that we can be made a little bit better. And so he sanctifies us. But we also looked at this phrase, all are one. And so we left off the sanctification, amen, of Christ, and we began to talk about our unification with Christ. How the Bible says all are one. Amen. Both the one who saves and the one who is saved. We are one with Christ. We began to talk about our oneness with him in death, our oneness with him in the resurrection, our oneness with him in the ascension. Amen. And we left off on this phrase in Hebrews where the Bible says that he calls us brethren. He calls us brethren. So we began to talk about that. Our relationship that we have, since we're saved, that, hallelujah, we have a relationship with Christ. We are one with him, not only in his death, not only in his resurrection, not only in his ascension, but we are one in paternity, meaning that we share the same father with Christ, right? And that was an awesome thing. And we talked about, amen, how we get to have the same daddy with Jesus. Amen. And so we started talking about the adoption process. Somebody say adoption. So if you remember, amen, we just went off on adoption, how God adopted us. Because remember, Jesus is his only begotten son. All right. But somehow or another, we are the sons and daughters of God. How did that happen? That happened through adoption. All right. And so we went through and we said that adoption is a legal process by way, hallelujah, you have paperwork and you have an attorney. And we said that this is our paperwork right here. This Bible, all the promises of the scripture is our paperwork for adoption. And you say, Pastor, well, where's the attorney? Amen. Haven't you heard, huh? That Jesus Christ is our advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, huh? Standing at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. We not only talk about the legal process of adoption, we talked about the cost of adoption. Because even in the real world where we live at, in the physical world, rather, adoptions could be very expensive. Well, how did the Father pay for our adoption? He paid for our adoption with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. His blood paid for us to be able to be adopted. He redeemed us from the law, redeemed us from sin, redeemed us from Satan, redeemed us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he paid for the process of adoption. Adoption was planned, and this is where we went off. Because we say, just like in the natural world, a family just don't go down there to the adoption agency the same day and say, oh, let's just pick somebody and let's just get a child. No, it's a pre-planned thing. And everything is thought about. Everything is talked about. Everything for the child, from hallelujah, them in their infant stage all the way, amen, to from the cradle to the grave, parents think about taking care of that child. Well, how did Father God, when did he start planning our adoption? Huh? Before the foundation of the world. Before you were born, before you were in your mother's womb, huh? And we talked about why he adopted us. Because he needed to? Nah. Because we was good enough? Nah. Because we came from a good family? Nah. He adopted us according to the good pleasure of his will. He adopted us, hallelujah. He adopted us, number one, because he wanted to. And number two, the Bible says, to the praise, to the glory of his grace. He wanted to show us what his grace looked like. What his grace looked like. Giving people who don't deserve anything more than what they could ever wish or ask or even imagine. You know? You know? And I just want to tell you, man. All right? Imagine a scenario where a man come into the courtroom guilty. And it's not a judge on the bench, it's a king, because kings would often act as judges as well. And the king knew the man was guilty and the man deserved death. And right when the executioners was about to come, the king come off the stand and walk on down to the man. He said, y'all, listen, I know he guilty, but guess what? I know what he deserved, but guess what? There'll be no executions today. In fact, we're going to let this man go free. You know what kind of man dance that man would do right there in that courtroom when he knew he was going to die, but he was set free? That's a good story, huh? But it get better. The king come down and say, not only are you free, but I'm going to adopt you into my family. It don't make sense, Bunch. It's amazing grace. It's incomprehensible. The king come down, TP, and say, not only are you free, but I'm adopting you in my family. And because you're in my family, there's going to be some benefits that inure to your behalf. See, tonight, you see, we talked about the adoption process, but tonight I want to talk to you about the benefits of being adopted into the family of the Most High God. You see, because if the king would come and adopt you after, hallelujah, excommunicating your sentence, after expunging your record, after saying that nobody could ever come and put no double jeopardy on you, amen, they can't even bring up your crime no more. It's forgotten. It's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. It's as far as the east is to the west. That's enough for me. But when the judge come down and say, that's not the good part. The judge will come down and say, that's not the good part. But all ye in my kingdom, in my realm, visible and invisible, all ye, my servants, all ye, my creation, there is an announcement in the heavens and in the earth. Them that were guilty are now not guilty. Them that were bound are now free. Them who were slaves are now sons and daughters of the Most High King. Hear ye, hear ye. They are adopting into my family with all the legal rights and benefits that are thereof. Hear ye, hear ye. What you saw as a slave now is now a prince. And who you saw that was bound is now a princess. Let's talk tonight about the benefits of us being adopted into the kingdom. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it would have been our point D, amen, under adoption comes with privileges. Let's look at the first privilege. Let's come on. I'm not going to keep you too long tonight, but let's look at the first privilege of being adopted. Amen. We get a name. We get a name. We get a name. You understand what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us, amen, that when we get adopted in Christ, hallelujah, just like a physical adoption, amen, you get the name of the people who adopted you. Huh? And what a great thing to have a good name, to be adopted in a good family. If your family name is good enough, amen, listen, you could be stopped on the side of the road by the police, and they look at your ID, and they see your name, and they say, are you related to such? Yeah, that's my daddy. Well, go ahead, roll. Keep rolling. Tell your daddy I said hi. Tell your daddy I need a raise. Right? A good name. Now, Proverbs says it's better than silver or gold. Let me tell you how good our family name is. The name that's stamped upon us when we get saved. Huh? It's a name so good that the devils bow down to that name. When the enemy come in like a flood, hallelujah, and you, hey, God, all you got to do is just say the name. Huh? A name so powerful, even if you have a bad dream. Are you listening, Crystal? Even if you got a bad dream, look like the devil got you. Look, they say Kushma. Look like Kushma riding you. A name so good, all y'all say is the name. Anybody here? What's the name you say?
Jesus.
Yeah, that name, that name, that name. That name. You say Jesus, Yahshua, Yahashua. Hey, God, they know who you're talking about. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, when the disciples came back, huh? When Jesus had given them authority and the privilege to use in his name. But I was saying the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. What? Through thy name. We was given a name, y'all. We was given a name, a family name. Huh? That's on us, that we can use. Amen. Hallelujah. A mighty name. Huh? The name of Jesus. There's power in that name. And I don't have it here, but while I'm at it, amen, disease is subject to that name. Not only devils, but disease. Huh? And that's not nothing you could do in the natural. You see, I could say Tebow all I want, but in the hospital, Tebow ain't going to help me for what the doctor done diagnosed me with. But we got a family name so strong that when you say the name Jesus, Hallelujah. Leukemia got to go. Hallelujah. Cancer got to go. Lupus got to go. Diabetes, it has to go. Heart problems got to go. When you say the name of Jesus, high blood pressure, hallelujah, regulates. Anybody ever been healed in the name of Jesus before? Anybody ever called on the family name? See, one of the problems that we have is that we don't use the name enough. Another problem we have is when we say the name, we don't know the weight that the name carries. The devils are subject to the name. Disease is subject to the name. Huh? Look, Matthew 18:20. Guess what? When we say the name, amen, hallelujah, the presence of the Lord come wherever we at. All right? Look what he says, 18:20. For where two or three are gathered, where? In my name. You see how powerful that name is? When you're gathered in the name, what happens? There am I in the midst. God, come. He come right where we at if we just gathered in his name. And in case you didn't know it, huh? Tuesday, huh? What month we in? May 15, 2018. As we are gathered here at Philadelphia Christian Church, 200 West Willow, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70501, we have gathered in his name. And since we have gathered in his name, guess who is also here? Our Lord and Savior is here in the midst with us, watching everything that's going on. Who listen, who not listen, who believe it, who not believe it, who gossiping, who not gossiping, who talk about this, who not talk about that. He is in here watching his people. It's the power of the name. The privilege is we get power, but we also get presence. Then this one right here, it's just a catch-all right here. See, John 14:13 says this. See, because I can go on for days, cool, but this scripture right here just is going to allow me to move on to my next point. Jesus says, and whatsoever. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, whatsoever. Huh? Look at your other neighbor and say, whatsoever. All right? That word is so good, you need to start naming your animals that at home. Next child is born in Philadelphia. I got a name for him right now. Whatsoever. You see, because it means anything. It means anything that you stand in need of. That name is so good. When we get adopted, we get a name so good that whatever we need, and whatsoever you shall ask in what? In my name. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14, if you shall ask, look what he say, anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. What a powerful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. And I'm sad to say in this place tonight that Christians, Hebrews, believers are not using the name enough, are not believing the name enough. You see, if they had a last name, amen, of Gates, they'd be walking high up in here. Huh? But here they got the last name Jesus stamped upon them. Yahshua stamped upon them. And they're walking around, amen, low. Huh? Learn the privilege of the name. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Another privilege of adoption is the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. All right? In Galatians 4:6, he says this, and because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, you see there, and because you are sons, this only happens when you get saved. See, everybody in the world think they got God living in them. That's not the truth. See, you got to be saved to have God living in you. You see, the Bible says, and because you are sons, when you become sons and daughters, when you get saved, Ephesians 1:13, that's when you're sealed with the Spirit of promise. And on the other side, we got people claiming, churches with false doctrine claiming, that you could be saved and not have the Spirit. That's bad doctrine. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of his. You can't be saved and not have the Spirit. As soon as you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. And because you are sons, and because not because you spoke in tongues, because you are sons, he says, God had sent forth what? The spirit of his son into your hearts. And with that spirit, what can you cry now? You can cry, Abba, Father. You couldn't call him Father before. You couldn't call him Abba, Father no more before in a relationship type of way. You can call him Father from a creation type of way. But you're not adopted until you get saved. And when you're adopted, hallelujah, you're saved, hallelujah. He sent the spirit, and now you can say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. Y'all listening out there? You see? And we could say it and mean it. Huh? Our Father. You see? Now, watch this for a second. All right? This is beautiful. You see, in normal adoption, all right, you could take a child from a bad situation, huh? And you can raise that child in a good home, all right? And as you raise that child in a good home, amen, that nurture that you raise that child with, hallelujah, will allow that child to grow up. And what's in you and how you live, you began to, hallelujah, train that child up in the way that he or she should go. The child is not even really yours, but because they live with you so long, and nurture sometimes is just as strong as nature from a psychological standpoint, amen, hallelujah. So that child, not even yours biologically, but you're going to begin to act like that guardian or parent that you was raised by. They don't even have blood. Your blood in them, but they was raised by you. All right? And that's what happens in the process of a natural adoption. All right? And that's why a natural adoption is great. Because you bring those children from bad situations. And you, hallelujah, can, as though it were, project yourself and your good upbringing on a child who had a terrible upbringing. You could duplicate yourself. Now, let me tell you something about that. It don't happen overnight. You got to train them up. It's a lifetime type of a thing. It's a life work. It's not something that's going to be easy, so you got to be in it for the long haul. All right? Now, let me tell you what God did for us. God did something that only God can do. You see, because when you adopt a child, you can't take your insides and put it inside that child. You can't give them your nature. You can only give them your nurture. Watch him first, lady. Watch him. The spiritual adoption process by which God takes us into his family, he not only, hallelujah, contracts with us to lifetime walk with us and nurture us with his word. He does something extremely 10 times, 100 times better than that. I'm not only going to nurture you, but I'm going to take my nature out of myself and I'm going to put my nature on the inside of you, my DNA in you. It can't happen in a human adoptive relationship. But in the spiritual relationship, our God takes his spirit and puts it on the inside of us. That's why when we get saved, we are born again and the regeneration process begins. And the things we used to do, we don't do no more. The things we used to say, we don't say no more. Why? Because when we got saved, he had infused his nature on the inside of us. God said, oh yeah, I'm going to make sure you get right. It ain't going to be, hallelujah, we're going to make something happen on a long term, which is the sanctification, but we're going to do something immediate. And you ain't going to be able to live any kind of way. First John said, why? Because God's seed is living on the inside of you. It's mind-boggling, y'all. This whole adoptive process by which he puts us through. The Bible says, because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son. Where? Into your hearts. He took his heart and put it in your heart. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now just look at that word heir and save that for a second. Because we're going to come to it right here in a few. Point number three. Adoption comes with privileges. We get a name. We get a spirit. But we also get access. We get access. We get access. All right? Access to the throne. Now, Hebrews 4:16 tells all believers. It says, let us, therefore, come what? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? In the time of need. This is beautiful. So not only can I ask for anything I need, I can ask it at any time I want. Because as a son and a daughter, I have access. All right? Now, this is good, you see, because when you know somebody important, you understand that access is limited. Because important people usually have important things to do, all right? And so you can't just barge into them at any time. In fact, in the book of Esther, we learn that people couldn't even run up into the king's room and run up to the throne unless the king, hallelujah, extended what? The scepter unto them. And if he did not extend the scepter and they run up barging up into the king like they own the throne, guess what's going to happen? Off with their head. Somebody say access. As an important person, and as a person that's moving up the ladder of prosperity, you're going to have to realize that you got to guard your time. You got businesses, hallelujah, you got supervisory roles, you got books you're doing, you're putting out music, you got rental houses, everything like that. One of the things you're going to learn is you got to guard your time. So everybody that want access to you can't get it, amen, or you're going to run yourself crazy. All right. All right. All right. And so that's the way it goes. You can't answer every text message. You can't answer every call. Everybody that come by, you can't talk to you all at one time. Amen. You're going to run yourself crazy. When you become a person of influence, you got to know how people of influence operate. You understand what I'm saying? All right. But there's a select group of people. If you are a person of influence, no matter how big you get, no matter how much authority you have, no matter how God has enlarged your territory, there's a small group of people that can come to you at any time. And it don't matter who you're meeting with. It don't matter where you're meeting. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be in the biggest board meeting, the governor sitting right in front of the mayor, right sitting right for you. And that little baby boy come one across the floor and say, daddy, daddy, daddy. You could be meeting with pastor. And David come running across. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Now, you might not let him say everything he won't say right then and there. But you're going to extend the scepter to him. Hold on, son. I'm talking. Say excuse me before you. I'm with the president right now. But what that son get? What does the son and daughter of a king get? Even though the king and the daughter, the king might be the most important person in the world, got so many things moving like our king, huh, brother? He governing, Miss Jet, the circuits of the wind. Controlling the flows of current around the world. Keeping the bees and the pollination process going. You worried about, hallelujah, some whale out there in the ocean about to have, hallelujah, babies. And he got something going on over here right in this sector of the whole world. He got it all going on. But anytime you need him. Anytime you need him. He going to tell you, he going to say, Shamu, hold up, hold up. James Parker need me right now. You see? When you adopted, you become a child, and a child has access. Cool, they can come to you anytime, cool. Anytime. They can come to you anytime, Ms. Denise. You know? And if they can do that with us, who our love is limited, how you think he feel? The one who has unlimited love. That's why the Bible says, let us come boldly. You're never a burden to him. He loves you. I meet people all the time that don't want to pray. I don't want to bother God. Or they don't want to ask him for everything. He said, cast all your cares upon me. I don't care if your shoes dirty and you need to pray, Lord, help me get this stain out this thing. I want to know everything that you got going on. That's what a father and a mother's heart for their child is. Don't you ever be going through and me not know. Don't you ever be needing anything and me not know. I don't care if the sponge not doing right with your hair and you need to pray, God, give me a curl pattern. God. Come boldly. Run up in there. You see? He tell us, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. That's the meticulous detail care he has about you. Every single one. And if you don't have one, he know that too. Come on, give him some glory. Amen. The privileges, the benefits of being adopted. We get a name. We get a spirit, his DNA, his nature living on the inside of us. We get access 24-hour. 7 days a week access. We also get protection. Huh? We also get protection. When you adopted, hallelujah, into the family of God, you have a father, amen, who will protect you at any cost. He will spend every drop of his omnipotent blood to make sure that you're all right. Pastor, how do you know that? Because he did it at the cross. He did it at the cross. He did it already. Acts 20 and 28 tells us, listen, when we see Jesus, you got to understand, yeah, it was Jesus, yeah. But you got to understand, hallelujah, that Acts 20, 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which God had purchased, what? With his own blood. God will drop his blood to make sure you all right. He's already done it. And let me tell you something. When you will drop your blood to take care of somebody, there's nothing you won't do. There's nothing you won't do. You'll stop an 18-wheeler. You'll hold a bridge up while they pass. Huh? You'll guide a doctor's hand in the surgery room. Huh? It don't mean nothing bad gonna happen to us. No. Hallelujah. But when we look at the overall thing of it, God, his promise to protect us is so great. He says, whatever happened to you, all things gonna work together for your good, and those are, you know what I'm saying? And nothing bad gonna happen. I'm in control. I got this under control. You know what I'm saying? Even when it's time for me to take you and you die, that's gonna work out for your good. You understand what I'm saying? It's protection, y'all. It's protection. I don't know about you, amen, but those of us that's daddies in him, all right? And that's daddies that love their children. All right? You ain't going to let them be heard while your eyes still open. That's a no-brainer, man. That's what I'm supposed to do, man. Oh, no, you go. I'm going to lay down last breath. Go. Flee. Run. Go tell mama so she can come. Go tell mama. I want this kind of barrel. I want that. You know what I'm saying? You know? Oh, yeah. But look, it ain't no question. Ain't no question. Nah, if we going to do that as sinful men, what you think the Most High going to do? Come on, give God some glory, huh? Protect us. He love us, man. Hallelujah. This one getting me excited. Provision. Provision. You see? When you adopted, you get provision. All right? And you get the promise of provision. See, when you understand his character, the Bible says, if a man don't take care of his own household, he worse than an infidel. You think God going to put that law on you and not uphold to it himself? God's like, what you mean? I'm going to take care of mine. I'm going to make sure you have something to eat. I'm going to make sure you always have some place to stay. You know, even though a lot of the economic, financial disasters that we go through are self-inflicted. Yes. Yes. Follow me now. And even in our lack of financial wisdom, God is still there. Even through our mess ups, when we buying stuff we shouldn't buy, taking trips we shouldn't take, putting hair in our head we shouldn't put in our head, and we doing stuff like that, and guess what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Always something to eat, always a place to stay. He's just always right on time. He's a providing God. Now, after you get this revelation, there's another step that you can take, amen, to understand that when he provides over in abundance. And when you get the financial wisdom to go with his provision, you could not only live with your needs met, but you can get your wants met too. Hallelujah. And then when you tack on that a knowledge that whatsoever I give, I shall receive. Oh, I'm giving you too much right here. I'm giving you too much. You can operate not only in all your needs provided, but you can operate in abundance when you learn the laws of heaven and the laws of the kingdom. Oh, God have mercy. Miss Angela, feeling what I'm talking about? You see what I'm saying? At the bottom of it is a promise of provision for all his kids. And then you got different promises of how to take that provision and make it jump, make it hop. Promises in the kingdom to increase your wealth. You know what I'm saying? Well, Pastor, tell us some of them. Hard work. With all labor, there's profit. I told you another one, giving. Hallelujah. When you sow, you're going to reap. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you another. When you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, all these things going to be added. There's promises to upgrade. Oh, God, have mercy. You're looking for a raise from a man when God done gave you some things you could do to get a raise from the Most High. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Oh, I'm getting. Let's go back to the bottom minimum. When you are a son and a daughter and you adopted into the family of God, you're going to eat. You will eat. He was telling them that in Luke 12 and 22. Look what he told them. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The believer should not be worried about food. You should never be worried about food. All right? Now, when you get to the upper echelons of your Christianity, you shouldn't be worried about nothing. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. All right? But at a base level, hallelujah, food should not be your concern. We ain't going to have nothing to eat. That should never come out your mouth. All right? And you shouldn't be worried about clothes. Because you have a base level promise that all of your meals and all your food going to be taken care of. All right? Now, some of y'all believe the companies you work for, but you don't believe the God you serve. Because your company tell you that you're going to get a per diem as long as you're at work. And boy, if they don't give you that per diem, you're going to cut up. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, I'm supposed to be eating. Where's my per diem? God done gave you better than a per diem. He didn't give you a promise of provision, and he's telling you, hallelujah, you're my child, you're serving me. Food ain't going to be nothing you got to worry about. All right? He's going to feed you. All right? Now, if you like me, I just don't want a food promise. All right? Some people, just, okay, I'm eating, that's good. No, but what am I going to drive? And where my wife going to live? You understand what I'm saying? So you want to, all right, come on. You see? He says, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. And all God is saying here, hallelujah, the life I gave you is worth more than food. And the body I gave you is worth more than the clothes you're putting on it. I don't care whether it's Louis Vuitton, whether it's Jabot, Zicat Richie. You see what I'm saying? None of those things that men make from animals is worth what God gave you on your birthday when you was born. The life is more than the food, and the body is more than the clothing. Well, what does that mean? I've given you the most expensive thing. Your life and your body is the most expensive. And if I'm gonna give you the most expensive, it means nothing for you to come to me for me to give you the other. Say you got a rich friend. and he buy you a vehicle. Hmm? And you fall on hard times. Now, he done bought you the vehicle. You fall on hard times, and you can't put no gas. Now, he bought you the vehicle so you could ride. And he see you, and he like, man, he see you walking. He said, man, what you walking for? I done bought you a car, my brother. No, I ain't about to give nobody a car in here. Y'all better stop looking at me like, they're like, ooh, Pastor about to give away a car. Listen. So, Madeline Hope say, thank you. Listen, man. So he see you walking, he's like, what you walking for? I bought you that car. He said, man, I ain't had no gas. He gonna say, wait, I bought you a $30,000 car. And you couldn't come to me for $10 gas? I bought you a priceless physical body, a priceless life. And you scared to pray for me for a piece of chicken to put in that body? You. Oh, no. You're going to eat. And when I first got saved, amen, I used to hang around a bunch of people that wasn't doing right. Well, because I wasn't doing right. And I remember, man, we was talking to one of the guys. He was a drug dealer. He was hustling at the time. And he said, man, I'm doing this because I got to eat, you know? And me and another brother, man, you know, the brother was kind of discipling me. He opened his Bible up. And he said, my brother, you ain't got to never sell drugs to eat. You ain't got to never go to the devil to eat. God gonna always feed his children. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I'm hallelujah. He said, consider the ravens, for they need the soul. Nor reap. He feeding the birds. And I love in Luke because he said, what kind of bird? He said, a raven. What's a raven? A raven is an unclean bird. It is not even good enough to eat. They come a dime a dozen. You kill one, it don't even matter. He said, God is even feeding these ravens. These birds that clean up fun. You know? Eat dead stuff. They clean up. He said, he's feeding ravens, y'all. And he feed them. They neither sow nor reap. They ain't got no job. They ain't getting no paycheck. They ain't planting nothing. And they ain't picking nothing. He said, which neither have storehouse nor barn. They have no savings account. No savings account. Meaning that they eat day to day. Every time a raven wake up, they rely upon God. And God give the raven his daily bread. He ain't got no backup plan. He ain't got no savings, no nothing like that. He just wake up and the raven fly off. And the raven by faith knows that the Creator going to provide his need. I just. No storehouse, no barn. And God feeded them. And Jesus is saying, how much more are you? How much more are you better than the birds, the fowls, the ravens? You see? Keep reading, Pastor. And which are you? Taking thought can add to his stature one cubit. None of us could make ourselves taller. Although during the basketball season when I was sticking Travis a few times and he would jump over me, I wish I was taller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish. But no matter how much I wished and how much I prayed, none of us could make ourselves TP height. None of us. We said, Jay, you feel me? Lord, no, I wouldn't be in church right now. But listen, he said, you can't add to his stature one cubit. You can't, a cubit is from this to this. You can't make yourself that much taller. Oh, that'd be sweet. See, you can't do that. Huh? He says, if you are not able to do the thing which is least, making yourself taller is least. Why take ye thought for the rest? You're worrying about stuff you can't do nothing about. It's his job to feed us. You know, our children, amen, we try to keep them out of adult business. You know, for the longest, they thought everything was free, all right? And so we just kind of started showing them, okay, look, you got to pay for stuff, you know? But the reason we didn't want them to know that they have to pay for stuff, because that's not your problem. That's not your problem. That's not your business. You don't have to worry about that. And a lot of us allow kids to be in adult business. Huh? You got the kids losing hair over the mortgage. She's 6 years old. She's looking at the mortgage. Lord, how are we going to come to this? How are we going? You know what I'm saying? They know Wells Fargo, they 11. What? You shouldn't know anything about that. You shouldn't know nothing about that. You know, you're going to have enough time to worry about that. You don't worry about that right now. Why? That's not your problem. Why? Because you got a daddy and you got a mama. As long as you got a daddy and a mama, your daddy and your mama responsibility, their responsibility is to worry about the things you're not worrying about. All right? That's why God tell us, Cherie, he said, boy, if I could just get them back to faith like a child. If I could just get them back to acting like children. You see, stop worrying about things that you can't control. You lose your job and you're all, you ain't did that. How you going to control the gas prices in Iran and Iraq and in the meat? What are you worried about? You can't control that. You can't control layoffs and stuff like that. What are you worried about? You can't fix what these people doing in Saudi Arabia. What are you worried about? We consume ourselves worrying about these ancillary things when the one we should be consumed over, we forget. We're looking at this when we should be looking at him. Look, I'm trying my best in here, man. You know? But what I was saying is, amen, children shouldn't be worried about food and bills. And that's the way God wants us to be. All right? Don't worry yourself over that. Now, that don't mean stay home and don't work. That would be contrary to other scriptures. So you want to keep a balance. I got to say it because some people be like, well, Pastor told me don't worry. I quit. God got me. And they become bums. You got to have a system of theology, because in other places he tell us that we should work. If you don't work, you don't. All right? All right? And sure, he's going to make sure you eat, you know what I'm saying, in certain situations. But, all right. Come on. He says this. He says, we're about to conclude, and I'm going to just pick up next time. He says in 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. Huh? The flowers and the vegetation. They toil not. They spin not. He's saying they ain't got no job. Flowers ain't got no job. They spin not. They not making no clothing. Huh? And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory, all his prosperity and his riches, was not arrayed, was not dressed like one of these lilies, one of these flowers. The colors that God and the petals that God lavished them with is more than what Solomon would come out wearing his freshest outfit. Huh? You know? And what is God trying to tell us? He's saying, man, look, if then God so clothed the grass, and it's springtime right now, we're seeing them little flowers pop up all over our yard. Can you see them in the spirit? And God putting petals on them and colors on them, little yellow on them. He's saying, if he clothed the grass, which is today in the field, he's talking about their lifespan now. Because that little grass that I saw in my backyard before I came here while I was feeding my dog, huh? It was there today. And tomorrow it might not be there. Because Felton might come cut my grass. But it's there today. Not that my grass need to cut. It's Stella, I'm just saying. is there today. And tomorrow is what? Is cast into the oven. It's gone tomorrow. He's clothed in stuff that live one day. Yes. How much more will he clothe you? And he tells us our problem. O ye of little faith. Oh, God, when we worried about food and clothes and shoes and socks, he said, O ye of little faith. We're going to just keep reading and we're done, y'all. I ain't going to even go to the next point. He says, hallelujah, and seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. He says in other places, the Gentiles, the heathen, the unbelievers, the unchurched, they worried about stuff like that. They seeking and living after stuff like that. Don't seek for that. Your Father knoweth what you have need of. He already know what you need. He know what you need before you need it. The benefits of adoption. And in verse 31, but rather, this is what your job is. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek ye first, Matthew says, the kingdom of God. And all these things that you're worried about shall be added unto you. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. Give him some glory. And the next verse is where we end. And I pray I'm building up your faith. It's blessing time. You're not a servant. You're a son and you're a daughter. You've been adopted. And there's some privileges that come with adoption that you need to start walking in faith in. He tells us, and I want you to, hey, God, if we was in the world, I'd say tattoo it on your arm, but let's say stick it to your refrigerator. Look what he said. In 32, look what he said. He said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. It's what he want to do. It's what he wake up in the morning thinking about. He can't wait to bless you. He can't wait. He just wake up. He got your name all over his mind. It is his good pleasure. Like when you buy your child something and you give it to them and you just want to look at the expression on their face. It is his good pleasure to give you what? To give you the things of the kingdom. He want to give you everything that the kingdom offers. And I'm going to show you next week what's in the kingdom. You see? It's his good pleasure to do it, man. It's not like he's trying to be grudging and not, nah. Nah, that car you want, he wants you to have it. That house you want, he wants you to have it. He wants you to be back there grilling. And you know what I'm saying, Cole, like we was talking about today. I ain't going to say everything we say, Cole, but I'm just saying. It's the prophetic. I just saw it. He wants you to be back there in your nice home, barbecuing, while your kids slip and slide in the backyard. Father God, we thank you so much that we are adopted in the beloved. And we thank you for the benefits of adoption. And God, I got like five more of them, God. And I pray your people receive them all. And we begin to operate in faith that we are sons and daughters of the King. And I'm praying, God, that would allow us to begin to receive the blessings you have stored up for us. Help us to walk out of here with our head held high, with confidence, not pride, confidence that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And now, Lord, there may be somebody here who don't know you like they ought, who may not be saved. I pray that you would allow them to come to the revelation, the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah! If you're here tonight and you want to be a son or a daughter of the King, you admit that you're a sinner, you believe that Jesus died for your sins, and you confess him as your Lord and Savior. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer right here, right now, to make sure that you're saved, to make your calling and election sure. Amen. He did it all on the cross. You ain't got to earn this thing. All you got to do is receive it. Salvation is as close as your lips tonight. He says, for those who don't have it, you only have not because you ask not. Let's ask him tonight. All of us. Let's just ask him and be sure tonight. Say, Most High God, thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned against you, and I'm so sorry. I want to ask you tonight to save me and forgive me of all my sins. You said, if I ask you, that I would receive. I take you at your word. I believe you. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And you rose on the third day. Father, adopt me into your family. Put your spirit on the inside. Change my heart and give me a new start. Show me my purpose and allow me to live the blessed life. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, give him glory, Zion. Give him glory, Zion. Hallelujah. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. I'm so happy he adopted me. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Shalom peace. I got a word for you. Don't worry about a thing. God got you. God got you, baby. He got you. He got you. And as long as he's worrying, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You let him do the worrying. He got you in Jesus' name. Love y'all, saints. Be blessed. Be blessed.